Amen and amen. What a wonderful song. Great way to start this evening's service off with. First off, I'd like to thank you all for your kindness and your hospitality here at Little Union Church. It's certainly a pleasure to be back here with you again one more time. And I certainly do. I certainly want to acknowledge your pastor, Elder Chris Krause. He's a dear friend of mine. We've spent many hours on the phone together, and he's become such a very good friend, someone whom I can look to and I look up to. Tonight, I'd like to start off in the book of Psalms, and I'd like to look at passages in three different chapters, and you can start turning over there now as I make a couple more preliminary comments, but Psalms 78, Psalms 95, and Psalms 100. I'll get that out to you again here in a little bit. I promise I'll try to keep it slow where I won't be bouncing around too fast. I was thinking a lot about this meeting. I really appreciate what Brother Chris has done in wanting to reach out and make this about family. It's very important that we not only do things together as a family, but we worship together as a family. And I find that when we do things like that as a family, we worship together, we pray together, we play together, that you will find a bondness, a closeness within each other. And I pray that this weekend, especially for some of you young folks out there, I pray that this weekend is a life-changing weekend for you. I pray the Lord would just shake you up from your core and just bless you in a way that you have never been blessed before. The preaching of the gospel is a miracle. It is a wonderful thing. And brothers and sisters, I ask for you to pray for me. And as I go forth through the scriptures, I'd like to look at this evening about reaching out and preaching to the lost. Now, before I make Brother Chris a little too nervous about saying that comment, we need to identify who the lost are. Okay? Preaching to the lost, yes, but to the lost sheep. Okay? There's all kinds of sheep out there. There's lively sheep. There's disobedient sheep. There's lost sheep. There's some sheep that have not been regenerated yet. There's all kinds of sheep. But once they are made alive, they are given ears to hear, a heart to understand, and they're able to hear the good news from a far country. Now, on the opposite of that, we have the goats. Now, they're not going to hear. They never will hear. They might hear audibly with a natural ear, but not spiritually. And so it's very important to understand that you can't take a goat and turn it into a sheep. I heard someone say that if they believed in baptizing animals, if they took a goat down to a river and baptized him, he'd just come out a wet goat. And that's a lot of truth to that. So let's identify who the lost are. Look at Psalm 78, and let's look at verses 52 through 54. Psalm 78, verses 52 through 54. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. Now I want to give you a couple other scriptures, but before I say that, when something is lost, it shows that you had possession of it at one point. For instance, sometimes I feel lost without my cell phone. If I woke up and I couldn't find my cell phone, if I had lost it, it doesn't mean that it's no longer mine. It's still my cell phone. Okay? It's just lost. So we lose lots of things, but we still purchased it. And it still belongs to us. And it's the same thing with the children of God. That at the end of the scripture it says, with right hand had purchased. Brothers and sisters, you are a blood-bought people that the Lord has purchased. Look at Psalms 95 and verse 7. In Psalm 95, verse 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." We find in this scripture that we see Him using a possessive type of wording, that we are the people of His pasture, that it's His people and it's His pasture, and we are the sheep of His hand. So when the Bible is talking about sheep, it is talking about His people. It's not talking about some other type of group out there. They are always His people. So when we are looking at the lost and reaching out to the lost, we are talking about the lost sheep of the children of Israel, talking about those that are already God's because they are His. And now here's a really good scripture in Psalm 100, in verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." I believe we've done that this evening. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and He that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So we continue to see the possessive wording that we are the sheep of His pasture. Now, brothers and sisters, it's important to understand that goats are not sheep. That sheep are sheep and goats are goats. Goats are not sheep, therefore they are not His. But sheep are. Now, the disciples, when they were told to go out to preach in Matthew 10, 5 through 6, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but rather go into the lost sheep of the house of Israel." As we were having some conversation earlier today, it's really important to understand that there's a lot of people that ask this question. How many times have you been asked, "What's a primitive Baptist?" You get asked that question a lot. But one of the things that we need to be careful of not doing is overloading someone who asked that question for the first time with a lot of Asian words. And when we get to using those Asian words, it tends to float over top of their head and they don't get it. So trying to sit there and hammer doctrine. Now, doctrine's important, but that's why we grow in this. It's just like a child that is born of the mother's womb. What's the first thing that the child desires? The milk of the Word, right? The milk. And same thing with a child of God. When a child of God is born again, it desires the sincere milk of the Word. Now, Paul was a little bit disappointed because he obviously had made a trip to Corinth before the first Corinthians had been written. And he said that he was amazed that they were still on that milk of the Word and had not moved on to the stronger meat. Now, it's important, brothers and sisters, that after we have that milk of the Word, that we continue, as Paul told Timothy, to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what's it talking about? Is Christ divided? God forbid. It's not talking about that, but it's talking about dividing truth from truth. The Bible is truth from the very beginning all the way to the very end. Now, if you will, look over here in Matthew 18 and verse 11. Matthew 18 and verse 11. And I really like this scripture and it hits home with me. And listen to this. "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Now, if you don't, if you're looking for shouting ground, there it is. That He has came to save that which was lost. You know, there is a writer by the name of John Newton. And if you really want the history of it, talk to Gary B. He studied just about every type of song that's out there, and he can tell you all about them. But just to give you a brief description, here he is on a slave ship coming across the Atlantic Ocean and realizing the total depraved state. I mean, he used the word "a wretch," that saved a wretch like me. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." He understood that he was once in that total depraved condition, totally lost and undone without God. He was blind, but now he sees. I think a lot of people sing Amazing Grace and don't understand grace. And don't understand that by this marvelous grace, by the unmerited favor of God in which he has bestowed upon us, that we one day will be like him and be satisfied by his marvelous grace. Nothing by our works or anything that we have done. So in continuing reading that same scripture in Matthew 18, it says, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if it be so that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of the Father which is in heaven that one of his little ones should perish." Now, a lot of one would try to take that and put it in an eternal context. There's a lot of children of God that has gone into that broad way. But brothers and sisters, it's more difficult to walk in the narrow way. It is not the will of the Father that one of them should perish. It's just like in the book of Acts in chapter 2, the Bible says to save yourselves from this untoward generation. What are you being saved from? This untoward generation. Okay? It's not being saved from hell. Those things that you have the ability to save yourself from, and that is from that untoward generation from this world. Coming forth, as Brother Tim and I were talking earlier, he's talking to one, he was preaching actually over in the lunchroom to us about Romans 10, and that was just a wonderful, wonderful discourse. Now, here's the thing about sheep. Sheep are a peculiar animal, and I find it interesting that the Lord uses sheep. Sheep are in constant need of direction. They need to be guided. And they're in the constant need of leadership. They need someone who is in front of them and guiding them. When I was growing up, I grew up on a little farm. And we had a bunch of cows. We had 32 head of cows. Now, nothing like those big farms you see out in Texas. But in the small little southern area of South Appalachian, Virginia, I was raised there. And one thing that was really amazing was when my dad went out there and he spoke to those cows, they came right to him. They knew his voice. Okay? If anybody else went out there and they started calling at those cattle to come forward, they don't listen. They just keep on minding their own business. But there was something about his voice. There was and you young people that are very tech savvy, there was a YouTube video that came out about a young, about a farmer over in the Middle East, and he had a flock of sheep. And he tested the people that were there, and he had them to go up one at a time to call the sheep forward. And as they went up, they tried their own way and own manner of trying to call the sheep, making their own sounds. And then eventually, there was the shepherd himself came forward, and he said one word, and here they come a-running. The sheep know his voice. They know his voice. There is nothing like that small, still voice, brothers and sisters. There's nothing like God speaking into the hearts of his children. Now, sheep, just like me, and you can ask the Cunninghams or anyone else, I'm easily distracted. If you're talking to me and you sidetrack me, to get me back on subject is a hard thing to do. Well, sheep are easily distracted, and they're enticed easily, and they're easily driven away. That's why it's very hard for the under-shepherd or for the pastor to try keeping those sheep together and looking over and watching over them. I'll tell you what, you should really appreciate what your pastor does for you. I cannot say that enough. You should be vigilant, as it teaches in Hebrews 10, to not forsake the assembling together. It's very important to be in church, not just for the sake of the pastor, but even more important to be in service for God. Doesn't the Bible teach us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice before God? It is holy and acceptable. It's a reasonable service. Doesn't the Bible teach us to do that? It should be, and we see the sacrificial things that happen in the old law, and now over here in the New Testament, we see that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And I think it's just amazing to look out over you all tonight and see so many people here to come to church and to praise the great I am. Now, here's the negative part. There are those who would scatter the flock. And there are those who would look for ways to distract. And if you will, turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50. And let's look at verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 5 and 6. They shall ask the way to Zion, and their faces thitherward, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds, listen who calls them to go astray. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray, and they have turned them away on their mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. You know, it's much harder after one leaves the church for them to come back after they've been gone out for weeks, months, and then years. And you see it being to the point that they have forgotten their resting place. Maybe trials have come into their life. Do you remember when Jesus was asleep on the ship and the great storm came, and Jesus had made a promise to them that they would pass over to the other side? But then part of the way through the storm, they got to the place where they got down to Jesus and they said, Master, carest not that we perish. Do you see, they had forgotten the promise of the Lord that they would arrive at the other side. He didn't promise there would be storms along the way because there's going to be many storms in life, but He promised that they would make it to the other side. And they had forgotten, and here we find in the Scriptures that after they had been scattered by those shepherds, that they had forgotten their resting place. And He also has a thing against those pastors as well. In Jeremiah 23, same book, chapter 23 in verses 1 through 4, and the Bible says this, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. It's very important to understand that. We as pastors always need to keep an humble disposition and realize that it's His pasture. We need to understand that it's His church. We need to understand that it's His sheep. And that we, even though He's given us care over those things as the under-shepherd, that we need to be careful and we need to be watchful and not become a dictator, if you will. Don't mean to use very strong words, but that's the only one that's come to my mind at the time. So he says, Scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastures that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, ye have driven them away, and I have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of their countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall no more fear nor be dismayed, neither shall there be lacking, saith the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, Lovest thou me? And he said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He says, Feed my lambs and my sheep. It's important, brothers and sisters, as we have gathered here today, that we are not only just feeding the adults, we are not just concentrating on the Asian words, that we are also talking in a manner that is to the young people that's here, that we are reaching out to the lambs. And it's so important, brothers and sisters. I want to encourage the parents that's here right now to sit down with your children at night and tell them about the Lord, to read scriptures to them, to sing the songs of Zion with them. There's so much joy. I cannot begin to thank God enough for when I was a little boy and being raised up, and the times when my daddy would sit down with me and he began telling me the wonderful things about Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. And so, parents, I implore you to do the very same. And grandparents, neglect not the grandchildren. Look upon them and continue to help in their, whether if they're staying over or whatever. Talk about the Lord. You know, this isn't just a Sunday thing or a Friday thing or whatever, however you want to have it. This isn't just a weekly thing. When you are a Christian, this is an everyday thing. Every day that you live, it is a lifestyle change. It is the fact that every day that you live, you are living, trying to live a godly life in honor to God. You know, He's worthy of it. He's worth. When I stop and I think about that for just a moment, I want just take this and for. I'm going to step off aside from my text for a minute. Take this into consideration. Do y'all believe that Jesus knew why He was coming here? Amen.
Amen.
He knew why He was coming here. Do you believe that Jesus knew what He was going to have to do when He came here?
Amen.
Now get this. I mean, I know you hear it all the time, but really take it in. Jesus Christ laid aside the glory that He had with the Father.
Right.
He laid it aside. And He took upon Himself a body of flesh
right.
like you and I. He's already been through it, brothers and sisters. Anything that you think you're going through, don't you doubt that Jesus Christ has not already experienced it.
Right.
Don't you think that He doesn't have office hours. Thank God for that. You can call upon Him on any time, any night, any hour. And you know what, brothers and sisters? The fact is that He knew why He was coming. And He came to face the death of the cross, the shame of the cross. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be talked about. He's worthy to be shouted from the housetops all over this country. It's gotten to the point where it seems like people are even ashamed anymore. And I want you to know that this is the time that we ought to be standing up stronger than ever in this country that we live in for the Christian values that we have always, that we've been taught and that we stood upon. Be not ashamed of the Lord and what He's done for you.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor defend His cause. So, feeding is very important. Feeding the lambs and feeding the sheep. Now, if you will, I'd like to look at the journey of a lost sheep. And I'm trying to be very conscientious of time here. I'm going to kind of start moving a little faster. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Stay in the book of Psalms. Let's go to 119. Psalm 119. Go all the way to the very end. And I'll be here for just a couple minutes. So I won't be skipping around on you. Psalms 119, the last verse. I thank God that David lost the joy of his salvation. That it wasn't salvation, he lost the joy of it. All right, 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So here we see the point where he is gone astray. Now, look at the condition that he got in the very next chapter, Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Isn't that good? Listen, whatever the distress is that you're having in your life right now, I don't know what you're facing, but He does. I don't know what you're going to face, but He does. And in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And listen to this, He heard me.
Amen.
He hears you. He hears you every time. Don't you doubt that for just a moment. I use this analogy a lot. I'm breaking from this again. Sometimes thoughts come in my mind. When I was growing up, I asked my dad. I said, "Dad, how did God begin? Where did God start?" And the reason this will tie into what I was saying just a minute ago. And the only way that I think to explain this is that we have a beginning and we have an end. I'm using the visual here. So there's a beginning to time and there's an end to time. Okay? And we can only move one direction in time. We only live right now in the present. We can't go future. We can't go in the past. We live in the now. God is not in time. God is eternal. And God sees the beginning and the end at the same time. He sees everything at once. And He providentially cares for His people at any point within that line as so He chooses to do so. God is amazing. And don't ever put limitations on His power and what He is able to do. So, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Now, we're going to skip forward a little bit to save time. Go to Psalm 121. So then it's, and the first verse, he says, "So I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He hath made heaven and earth." And now we'll skip all the way to the very end. For the sake of time, let's go to verse 8. And I want you to notice the wording here. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Now I heard a lot of people call her Granny B. Cunningham, that she does a good job canning berries. Now, you can't take a bunch of berries and say berries preserve yourself. They're not going to jump in the jar, and they're not going to get a lid on top of it and start preserving themselves. But brothers and sisters, there has to be someone who preserves them. Someone who keeps them and takes care of them. And that's how it is with God taking care of us. We are preserved in Him and we are kept by Him. All right, let's move on. Now, just a couple more comments and I'll come to a close. And I promise, Brother Chris, not too much longer and I'll get out of the way. It's easy for sheep to become lost. And I went on the internet and I did a Google search and I looked up characteristics of sheep. And as I began to read through the characteristics of sheep, I began to see myself in a lot of those characteristics. I want y'all to listen to this. I wrote a few of them down here. Okay, first off, they're very timid. They're very fearful. They're easily panicked. They're dumb. Gullible. Yeah, that got me tickled too. Easily influenced by a leader. And they stampede easily, meaning they have a mob type psychology. When one person jumps on it, then the next person, next person, next thing you know, they're all going that same direction. Now here's another thing about sheep. Sheep have very little means of defense. They need someone to defend for them. For instance, they do not like a haircut. Neither does my little boy. I took him to the barber not too long ago, and I think we went through 10 lollipops with hair stuck all over before we finally got to the end of the barber trip. But sheep do not like to get their hair cut. But you know what? It's very important they get their hair cut. You want to know why? It keeps the wool out of their eyes so they can see, and it also unstops the ears so they can hear. So they don't have very much means of self-defense. They're easily flipped over. They're jealous. They're competitive. They're constantly in the need of fresh water and fresh pasture, but they're stubborn. And if necessary, they'll even drink dirty water or eat a poisonous plant. Now, think about that. There are many sheep right now, brothers and sisters, that are drinking dirty water. There are many of them that are drinking dirty water. Now, they are creatures of habit. Now, here's another one. They love to get into ruts. They like to repeat over and over and over again the same old thing. And if someone tries to do something different, oh, that just stops them in their tracks right then and there. They like to just keep doing that same old thing. They're dependent upon a shepherd for their every need. All right. And when I read through that, I saw myself in a lot of that. I saw myself in the characteristics of the sheep. And I pray that you see a picture in that for you too. Now, if you will, let's turn over to the book of Luke. And we're going to Luke and then two more scriptures and I'm done. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit to go through this quickly. Parable of the Prodigal Son, verse 11 through 32. Now here we have two brothers. The younger, he wanted his inheritance. So he went ahead and he got he gave him all of his inheritance. He wasted it with riotous living. There was a famine in the land. And eventually he found himself in a terrible situation where he was eating the very husk that was being fed to the swine. And he got to the point that he says, boy, if I was a servant in my father's house, I would be eating better than I would be eating now. In other words, he had wasted all of his living in the world. And there's many good children of God that have done that. Now, here's the one thing to remember. Throughout that entire passage from verses 11 through about 17, never does it say that he lost his sonship. Never did it say that he ceased from being a son. And that's one thing that's important for us to understand. And then when he got to the point that he was repentant and not just turning around, but he had a new change of mind. He was at the point that he said, if I come back, he said that I am no worthy to even be called a son. If you would just allow me to be a servant in your house. Now, if you go to verse 21, the scripture says, and the son, or let's see, let's go back a little bit. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and read and fell upon his neck and kissed him. Do you see the way that he was received? And if you notice, he didn't go to him and say, "Son, what have you been doing? Why have you been making all these mistakes?" You know, sometimes as human beings, we want to take our Bibles and thump someone on top of the head and tell them how bad and how horrible they are. It's just like when Jesus rebuked the sea it seemed like he ought to rebuke the disciples first, but he didn't do that, did he? He took care of the situation. And then that's what happened right here. He was happy to see that his son had come home. In verse 21 it says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, he was dead, and he's alive again, and was lost, and now is found." And they began to be merry. So brothers and sisters, we see that he was always a son, that he never lost that sonship. We see that he might have missed out on that fellowship with his father. He might have missed out on the blessings that was there, but he never lost that title of being a son. My kids, sometimes I love them to death, and they're all here tonight. But there's times where I might get a little frustrated once in a while, but it doesn't mean that they're no longer my kids. They're still my kids. And you know what? Same thing when I was growing up. Listen, I was not a very nice little boy growing up in the church. I probably got more whippings than about any other kid that was out there. And we had outhouses, and Mom would take me out to the outhouse out behind the church, and she would wear me out and bring me back in. It never failed that I knew what that finger snap meant when she snapped and she pointed her finger at me. But brothers and sisters, I'm glad that I was raised that way. I'm glad that they brought me to church every Sunday, and I want to encourage you all to do the same. Now, here's the last scriptures I'm going to leave with you. So we've spent all this time talking about sheep. And now, just spend a little bit of time looking at the goats. Just a couple scriptures. Matthew 7:22-23. Matthew 7:22-23. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And then in the same book, in Matthew 25:32-34, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left." Verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now skip down to verse 41. "Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But these..." And verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." There are many, many sheep that are in the broad way. And I want to say this one last thing. I'm sorry, brother. One last thing. The doctrine that we believe and that we preach and that we hold to puts more people in heaven than the doctrine of saying that Jesus died for everybody. Think about this for a second. It sounds good to the human ear when someone says that Jesus died for everybody. Jesus, he died for everybody. But here's the thing about that. We've got to put the condition on it. According to their doctrine, Jesus died for everybody, but you must hear the gospel and obey. So that limits a very small amount of people that will ever sing in the realms of eternity. Now think about this. When John was in the book of Revelation, John said he saw a great number coming out of tribulation, having their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. How big was that number? is a lot bigger than the 144,000 mentioned before that was talking about the 12 tribes. It was an innumerable number that no man can number, but innumerable to God.
Amen.
God knows that number. He knows every single one of them. And don't you doubt for a second that every one of them that He saved will be in glory. And that includes those that have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. That includes infants. That includes the mentally challenged. That includes indigenous tribes, wherever they might be. It includes them all. Because let me tell you, when you put limitations on things like that, you're putting limitations on God. And with God, all things are possible. May God bless you is my prayer.